I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome William Bissett. He is the founder and president of Portus Wealth Advisors. He played a role in trying to get the startup scene going in Charlotte. He has a passion for businesses and helping businesses grow and thrive. One of the things he loves to talk about is building a business that is bigger than you, one that lasts beyond you. And so that's obviously a big theme in this podcast. I think it's something every business owner at some point in their heart wants, is to make something that lasts beyond them. So this should be an interesting discussion. William, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Craig. I'm excited to kind of dive into the conversation.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's interesting. It took us a little bit longer to hit record. We discovered that I started with, "Hey, I noticed your phone number was a Maryland number," you know, which is where I grew up, and you'd lived up there. And you said, "But I grew up in Eastern North Carolina." I'm like, "Well, that's interesting. I used to live in Eastern North Carolina."
Yeah, so, no, we definitely have lots in common for sure.
So I got a question for you. Living in Charlotte now.
Yes.
When you go out for barbecue, what color is it?
You know, the horrible thing about Charlotte, and I'm going to give Charlotte a bad rap here, is barbecue has no personality. And so what I mean by that is most barbecue shops here in Charlotte will cook it dry and then give you your three different types of sauce that you can put on it at the end. Which is a horrible way to cook barbecue, right? I mean, you're supposed to cook it in the sauce and then present the sauce as an additional, you know, add-on at the end, but they're cooked dry so that you can choose your own, which oftentimes is a disappointing product. I still go, but look, I lived in Charleston, South Carolina. I've lived in the mountains, and obviously I grew up in East North Carolina. I can eat any of the three. I think they're all phenomenal, right? I love a mustard-based. I obviously love a vinegar-based. And I mean, who doesn't like ketchup, right?
Yeah.
So it all depends on my mood for the day.
Yeah. There was a time when I thought King's Barbecue was good, but that was early in my barbecue journey. And I started discovering places like Wilbur's in Goldsboro and Stamey's in Greensboro. When I lived in Greensboro, Stamey's had pretty decent barbecue.
Yeah, no, Wilson's got a couple of good spots, Rocky Mount. Greenville has a good spot or two. So there's, we can devolve into a barbecue conversation for the next 30 minutes if you want to, Craig.
Yeah, well, that would be fun. But I think you have, something that's really interesting to say. One of the things that you told me in the green room was one of your lessons was for you to be successful, you had to have a team around you. And that was kind of an observation that you made from your dad.
Yeah, no. As I was saying, my dad started off in this business. He started off with E.F. Hutton, moved over to Wheat First Securities, opened up a number of Wheat First Securities offices in Eastern North Carolina. Ultimately, my underlying suspicion is probably pushed out of Wheat First Securities in 1991. And went over to LPL and was an independent advisor there for a number of years and basically was forced out of LPL in 2011 and started doing tax returns from 2011 until the time he passed away in 2018. Dad always said, Dad can sell ice or could sell ice to an Eskimo. He just would usually not deliver the ice to said Eskimo after he sold it to him. And so watching Dad struggle throughout life, it was fairly apparent to me that if he had somebody that sat next to him that made sure the ice was delivered to the Eskimo, So the Eskimo was not only had a good selling experience, but a good product in hand too. He would have been much more successful. So when I started Portis Wealth Advisors in 2019, I knew I needed a team around me so that all the things that we need to do from a firm perspective get delivered by people that are really good at it. And so, yeah, no, absolutely. It was a very crucial lesson in what I needed to do in order to be successful, and what I needed to do to make sure that the clients that we work with were successful in what we were doing on their behalf.
Yeah. And it's interesting. When I've gone on to add people to my team, if I'm looking for somebody who's going to work closely with me, I'm looking for the opposite of me. And because I believe that's where you get the best performance. If your dad had just found another great salesperson, well, delivery, that would just accelerate the speed at which delivery imploded.
Yeah. No, you're right. So no, you say that. So we use Culture Index to kind of source our people or from a hiring perspective. But I always say the reality is, look, I'm just looking for smart people because I'm not, right? I just want really smart people around me to make up for what I lack in that area. And we've been fortunate, you know. I mean, as you know, as a business owner, as you start to build and create momentum, you know, the fortunate thing is really smart people want to be part of momentum, and so they come out of the woodwork. So we've got some really smart people that are here helping us.
Now, what's Culture Index?
It's a personality profile, so it's a more accurate personality profile based on all the studies that I've seen. There are licensees across the country that you can tap into that kind of help you understand, you know, what your personality is. And then the licensees work with business owners, which is great for this, you know, group here. They work with business owners to help them understand, you know, exactly, you know, what they need in a particular position. And then to start to, you know, find out what personalities would fit within that. And then, you know, they give the personality profile to potential job candidates, and those job candidates, you know, either fit the personality or they don't. They try to figure out, well, if we hire them and they don't, will it fit or will it not? So anyways, it's just another tool in the toolkit, right?
And I think that's so valuable because, one of the things I use, so people sometimes look at my marketing and try to copy it. I'm like, don't copy my marketing, copy my clients. If you're going to copy something, copy my client's marketing. My marketing sucks. And the reason is it's hard to do surgery on yourself.
It really is. No, I mean, you're right. I mean, it goes back to, you know, we talked a little bit about it in the green room. It's hard to diagnose kind of where you are and where you're trying to get to, because you're constantly in your way, right? There's so many things swirling around, and just to be able to sit back and verbalize it with somebody else really helps them see the picture that you're trying to create without all the noise, right? You've got all the noise internally and what's going on and what the business can do or what the, right? You see all the dirty and wonderful aspects of the business, and being able to verbalize that with somebody else and have them help you dissect it and find out where it sits and wherever their range is, whether it's a CFO or CMO or whoever it ends up being, to drive that business forward. So it is hard to do it on yourself, 100%. I get it. Yes.
Well, so somebody that works for me is a lady named Elena. She's worked for me a long time. Worked for 5 years, then stepped away for 5 years, and then came back. And she's amazing. And she's all the time finding little detail errors in my work. And every time that happens, I don't get upset. I'm like, thank you. I'm so glad. That's why I hired you,
Yeah.
is I need somebody around me that's really, really good at those details to make sure those small things don't fall through the cracks.
Man, checking your ego at the door every morning, right? Right? Like you're great at what you do, but you're not great at everything. And having somebody come in and look at what you've put together and give their perspective and their spin on it, right? Like she's great at detail. Somebody else might be great at color and you're colorblind. I mean, who knows, right? And so yeah, having that team around you where everybody excels in different areas, and they check their egos at the door, right? Now you're starting to build a pretty powerful entity right there. So yeah, no, culture index, whatever it is, right? Just hiring some people that are different than you and then understanding and appreciating what they bring to the table, right? Like that starts to create synergy in a powerful business for sure.
Yeah. Well, there's a mentor in my life who said, he said, you need to know if you have a business or if you have a practice. And he said, the easiest way to check is you have a practice if you step away and business stops.
Yeah, no. You found out you had a business when you were going through your struggles, right? The fact that your team and so many other people kept it running as a smooth operating entity, really validated your work over the years. So, no, I mean it's so true. I mean business owners get, I mean specifically early on, right? We all, it's so much our baby. Right, that we just won't need our hands in every aspect of it, and some people never are able to let go of it, right? Like they stay in the business forever, and then there are others that recognize that in order for it to flourish and to allow other people to flourish, that they've got to step out and let other people excel and win, right? Like I mean, you think about, people want to create wins, right? Like we all want to create wins. I mean, gosh knows, you go back to Little League baseball, and everybody wanted to get on base, right? Everybody wanted to score a run. Like they wanted to create that success, that feeling of I did something. And as a business owner, if you don't recognize that, then you hold people back, and it's your thing. You're not allowing them to grow. But if you recognize that, hey man, this person wants to get on first base and then they want to move from second, third, and fourth as well, like what can I do to help them be successful and help them thrive and learn and grow? And then that comes back and it two things, right? That person's going to love you forever. And then second of all, it's going to help your business continue to grow and flourish as well, because you now have somebody that's invested in creating wins, and those wins are for them, and the wins are for the clients, and the wins are for you as the business owner as well. So, and then then that person will get married, and you'll go to the wedding, and you'll give birthday presents on the first birthday and the 16th birthday, whether or not that person's with you or not. I mean, I always remember one of my mentors, Dwight Michaelis at Pinnacle, their first investment analyst that they hired ended up leaving the firm to go to a larger firm for, a great opportunity. She left the area. But as a result of being in the Columbia, DC market, she came back on a regular basis. And every time she came back, she went and grabbed lunch with Dwight. And so, right, like that's impactful, right? I mean, that's 10, 15 years later that she was still coming back to have lunch because of the impact that he had on her. And he was always so excited to see her, and they were always talking about her kids and her family and everything else. And it's just a good lesson. And I always say, do the right thing. Do the right thing by your employees, do the right thing by your clients, and most of the time, the rest of it will take care of itself.
I think one of the fears, though, is, hey, if I really train this person, I make them really good at what I do or what my business does, they may leave and start competing against me, may get hired by somebody else and compete against me. How do you process that?
Yeah, so from a so we work as a wealth management group, we work primarily with business owners, right? And so I always talk about what we do and why we do it with our potential clients that are coming on board, and it's kind of in the same vein, right? Which is our goal with business owners is to educate them around the things that they don't understand around personal finance, as well as things around the execution of their business, right? Like we Before they go update their estate documents, we want to update them on what estate planning is, why wills function this way, why trust, why life insurance, why these different components. So then when they sit down and talk to the estate attorney, they can actually have an engaging conversation, right? Because otherwise, if you go talk to an estate attorney, the estate attorney is going to talk to you. You don't have any idea what the estate attorney's saying because that's not your world. You just nod your head and agree. So Like, we want to educate them on estate planning, taxes, insurance, the underlying operations of their business, how businesses get sold, how M&A people work, all of those different things, right? Like, we want to educate the crap out of them, so much so that they don't need us, right? Like, our goal would be, if we've educated around estate planning, they don't need us in estate planning anymore. If we've educated around taxes, then they can converse with their CPA. But if we do a really good job at educating our clients, they're not going to leave us because they continue to want more out of us, right? They've grown as individuals, they've grown as in their own financial world. And I think about it the same thing with employees, right? Like, if we invest that much into our employees, it's really hard for somebody else to come and say, well, come work with me. This is what we do, right? Like, you've created that growth and energy and passion within that person. And it's not going to be a complete and total handcuff, right? I mean, somebody comes and offers to double their salary, it's hard to kind of turn that up or turn away from that. But I think if you do a great job at training and educating your employees, it's a difficult place for them to leave from. And if you've done a great job at training and educating your employees, it's going to make hiring their replacement, if they do go away, that much easier. Because you know what you need, you know what the personality is, you know what the skill set is, and then that person's created a role that's more desirable for somebody else to come in and fill, right? So, I mean, life's all about challenges and opportunities, right, Craig? And so that's, the challenge is if they leave, then it sucks. But the cool thing is there's now an opportunity to bring somebody else on board that wouldn't have been there otherwise. And that person could very well put the business into a different place that you weren't really thinking about.
Well, have you ever seen those companies where somebody says, "Oh, I just hired so and so from this company," and everybody cheers and is like, "Wow, that was a good pick." I wouldn't be one of those companies that people celebrate and their friends like, "Wow, you hired somebody away from Craig. That's you got a gem." I think you only rise to the top. I don't think those type of companies, I mean, eventually over enough time, Motorola used to be one of those companies.
IBM
And
here in North Carolina, right?
And I think that's nothing to fear. I think it's something to celebrate. And sure, some good people are going to leave, but I think it only bolsters your reputation when, when the people they poach from you are really exceptional people.
No, I agree. I mean, people come and go into your life all the time too, though, right? Like, I mean, gosh knows, we lived in Baltimore for 6 years. We made really good friends there. I hadn't talked to most of those people who were really good friends in Baltimore in, gosh knows, at least 10 years, right? And I mean, the same thing's true in business, right? Like, good people come and go. And that doesn't make it a bad thing. It just makes it life. And we've just got to, look, if you fear that if you educate and train and whatnot, really good people, they're going to leave. The alternative is you don't train them and they're really bad people, right? They're not good at their job. Well, that's not good for the business either. That means in order for the job to get done, that you stick your hand down in there and do it. And we're all the way back into you have a practice, not a company. That's not the result that you want, right? So, yeah, sure, grow the heck out of them, and if they leave, then grow the heck out of the next person. But create, I mean, it goes back to like your podcast, right? Legacies. You want a legacy of creating fantastic people that none of us necessarily want to depart this earth, but who come to that ceremony or celebration of life or whatever you want to call it, and they tell a story about how you changed the direction of their life based on what you did for them, right? Like, that's pretty damn cool. Get your employees to speak at that, right? Line up the microphone for 30 deep and let that be the lasting memory.
So you work primarily with businesses. You're not taking, your clients tend to be business owners.
Correct.
And what was your goal in choosing that versus just anybody with money?
It's like life, it just happened, right, Craig? So I actually started when I was with a previous firm in Columbia in 2000 and from 2005 to 2015. In 2011, when we moved down here to Charlotte, I had a client that got me to build a spreadsheet. I was around estate administration planning and whatnot. And so I started that spreadsheet. I turned it into a software with my wife's permission. I told her I needed to spend X dollars. It ended up being that I spent X plus dollars because that's the way business goes, right? Wrote a lot in peer-reviewed journal articles, which is a whole different story. If anybody ever wants to write peer-reviewed journal articles, my advice is don't. That's a big learning curve. But anyways, got as a result of those articles that I wrote, I got picked up in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. We ended up having about 1,000, 1,500 users on our platform. After that New York Times article dropped, most of them fell off because I thought that was all it was going to take, and I made for a pretty crappy business. I shut that business down in 2015, and as we were talking about earlier, I joined the Charlotte Angel Fund, launched my own podcast that we ran until 2 years ago. But as a result of being part of the Charlotte Angel Fund and getting to know people in that community, A, learned a boatload more about business, right? As you see a bunch of startups come and talk about growth and positioning their business. But it also just put me around more people that work with business owners. And as you do good work and people appreciate and see what you do, referrals just started coming in the door. And those referrals just happened to be other business owners. And so next thing we knew, we woke up one day and over 50% of our clients were small business owners. And something like 80% of the clients that came to us from 2001 cent or 2021 cents have been small business owners. It's like, well, what are we doing with small business owners that's causing this to happen? And then so we just kind of really started developing our process around the business owner and the business owner's needs, their family, the business, the exit, all of those different things. So it goes all the way back. Like, I wanted that software to be really cool and to be a huge success, but it completely changed my life in so many different ways, one of which being the types of clients that we ended up working with.
Very cool. Now, one of the challenges about working with a wealth advisor is, you're kind of opening up the kimono, and most of us have things that we're not terribly proud of, maybe decisions we made or the speed at which we've been working.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I it. So, no, I mean, we do, right? I mean, but the same thing can be about, sit, I mean, we were talking about earlier, right? We can, same thing be said about our health, our fitness, right? Decisions that we've made, but ignoring that doesn't make it go away, right? Like, I've got a knee problem. I was running last year and ended up, I hurt my knee and I ended up not going to the doctor for 8 weeks, which was a horribly stupid decision. I just hoped that I was 16 again and that the knee problem would eventually go away. And it didn't. And I finally ended up going to a physical therapist and had some work done on it and made it a little bit better. But it didn't make it completely better. So I ended up going to the doctor and got an x-ray a couple, I don't know, 2 months ago. And he said, it's either arthritis or you've torn your meniscus. So I'm gonna give you a cortisone shot, and if that doesn't work, then come back. We'll do an MRI, and we'll figure out what you need to do from a surgery perspective. And my knee still hurt; it still swelled, but I kept hoping that it was gonna, like, it was gonna go away, right? And not surprisingly, Craig, it hasn't gone away, right? So just because we have these things, that if we ignore them, it's not gonna make them better, right? Like.
Well, I think it's probably a little
Eventually,
bit like what we were talking about in the green room for me going to Camp Gladiator.
yeah.
When I'm out at Camp Gladiator, if you don't know my backstory, I seem kind of slow and get out of breath easily. And it's easy for me to worry about how people are looking at me. But the people that know my story, they're like, dude, you're working at it and you're improving every day.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, we all have things that we wish were better. But wishing they were better is not going to make them that way. So partnering with the right people, whether or not it's people at Camp Gladiator to help you in your progress, whether or not it's a, wealth advisor helping you in the progress around your personal wealth, whether or not it's your company that needs additional marketing support and you want it to be right, you need more clients and marketing is going to be a way to help generate that, right? Like, I mean, you're right there, right? There's wishing it to be better doesn't make it that way. And yeah, we get in there and we see a lot of things. And, but I promise most of us are fairly nice. We're funny. I think that's our key advantage, right? Is we're freaking hilarious. And so we're at least, we try to take the load off a little bit in some of those conversations. So yeah, no, we're gonna find out some things that you did or whatnot. And I mean, like I said, I mean, I've made plenty of bad decisions, right? I mean, you want to have bad decision conversations, let's giddy up and go, right? I mean, and we'll share those with our clients as well. So yeah, no, it becomes an open book, and that's okay.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, William, how can people reach you?
Yeah, no, so fairly easily, somewhat active on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is a fairly decent place. Our website, www.portisadvisors.com. And then my email address is fairly simple. It's william@portisadvisors.com as well. So fairly simple, no complexity in that email address.
Well, excellent. Well, thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacies.
Thanks so much for having me, Craig. I enjoyed our conversation now as well as the lead in the green room as we found out all of our twists and turns and paths, right?
Yep, it's been good. This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.